This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
It's a real joy to be with you tonight, and God's been so good to us, and I tell you, it's just a privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and be seated just for a moment, please, because I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about before I read the scripture and begin to preach tonight. I'm not going to promise you I'm going to hold you long. I'm just going to preach for a few minutes, hopefully, by God's grace. But I do want to mind the Lord and let God have his way in my heart, and I trust you'll pray for us. But I want to speak to you just a moment tonight about the prison ministry. God has richly been blessing us, and we had 29 guys there with us this Monday night. And God's Spirit just moved in that place, and it's just been a wonderful experience going there. It's just amazing. I've seen 11 men give their hearts to Christ. We've had one that has surrendered and his life back to preaching, and he has preached twice for us while we've been there and has done a tremendous job preaching. It's just like if he'd been preaching for several years. And God has just, like I said, it's just been amazing to watch these boys or these men. Some of them are boys, some of them are older men. But to see how they are working in the prison to win souls, it's just amazing to see that taking place there. It's certainly been enjoyable watching these men labor for the Lord there in the prison, and how they're lifting each other up and encouraging each other to continue in the faith. And, of course, right now I'm teaching the book of Jude, and we're having a tremendous time with that letter, and God is blessing in that. But what I wanted to ask you about is... if you have an old Bible, King James Bible, study Bible, that has references in it that you no longer use or need, and it's just laying around, and if you have that, and if you'd like to just donate to that one of those boys that don't have a Bible, one of them come to me this past Monday night, and he had a small Bible that some Jehovah Witness had given him, and he was really... in turmoil over that because it don't match this Bible, and of course not. And he asked me about it, and I said, "Give it to me, and I'll expose of it." And I did. I threw it in the dumpster. But if you have one that you don't need, I'm not asking you to give up your Bible. But one by one, I'll see that somebody that needs it gets it. But what they need is just a good King James reference Bible that it has references in it where they can run references on the scriptures, and it would be a blessing to them. And you give that either to me or Brother Poole, Richard's always trying to find a Bible to take down or to give to one of those boys. And I want you to pray for Brother Poole because he seems to get such a blessing out of doing that. You ought to see him working with those men down there. If you could see Richard as he's working and witnessing to those men, he's pouring his heart in that with all his might to try to win those men to Christ, and him and Brother Cross as well. And it's just a blessing to watch them labor with me as they're going down there to work in that prison. So far, we've had a little bit of conflict with the devil's tried to hinder us somewhat, but it's done well. God is protecting us, and And we've been having some awful good spiritual meetings. So I just wanted to give you a report on that firsthand. But it's been worth it, every bit of it. Going there and doing that work for Christ. Their souls are precious like anyone else's. And if we win just one to Christ, we've accomplished something for the Lord. So we ask you to continue to pray that God would bless that. If you'd stand with me for the scripture reading tonight out of the book of Hosea tonight, out of chapter 4, I want to read verses 1, then I want to go to verses 6 and read some scripture tonight. And I believe tonight this is where God has laid upon my heart to read tonight and preach from. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you tonight. And I trust that you will pray with me and ask God to bless in the reading of God's word tonight. In verses 1, the Bible says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and shedding or committing adultery and breaking out and blood touching blood." Now let's notice verses 6. "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on the iniquities. And there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. And they shall commit whoredom, and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Now, if you turn with me in the Word of God into the book of 1 Timothy, into the second chapter, for the first 6 verses there, and then we'll have a word of prayer. "Exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayer and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for the kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Let us pray. Father, I thank you again tonight. Now, Lord, help me tonight, Lord, to get myself out of the way. And God, that I might be able to be used by you tonight. And God, that you would bless the church tonight. Lord, help us, Father, as we stand before you tonight. And God, that we might minister and, Lord, present the truth tonight. Bless your people in a mighty way tonight. Strengthen our hearts, Lord, that we might serve you. And God, that we might bring glory and honor tonight. Lord, that we might see the importance of the Word of God tonight. Lord, the Scripture that you've laid upon our hearts tonight. Lord, that we might see today, Lord, the need that's in our world today. And Lord, that we might realize, Lord, how important it is, Lord, that we, as the people of God, Lord, that we might shine in this world today. And Lord, that people might see Christ in our daily walk. And Lord, that we might be a light unto them, Lord, that are in darkness. Lord, now bless and have your way in every heart tonight, we pray, in Jesus' glorious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. as I was reading in the scripture there in Hosea, we see that God, as he's dealing with Israel, and we see the indictment that God has given there because of the fact of the truth, and that where God thunders out through this great prophet, and as God is beginning to pour his heart out concerning the truth and the knowledge, and that God had given them knowledge, but because they had rejected knowledge. And I want you to stop with me just for a moment tonight and realize what you and I have tonight in Christ Jesus. We have something tonight that's most wonderful tonight. We have the living Word. We have the Word of God tonight. What a privilege it is tonight to know that we can sit down in our comfort at what God has given us, and we have the Holy Book. We have 66 books of the Word of God, and we can apply these books to our hearts, and we can study the Word of God to show ourselves approval unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. And so therefore, if God has equipped us with many things today, that we can learn the Word of God, and that we can be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's one thing for certain in my heart. The older I get, the hungry, the more I hunger for the Word of God. And I can't explain that. I've been saved since I was 15 years old. And one of the greatest things that I noticed about my salvation was that as a newborn babe, I wanted to know more about my Jesus. I wanted to know more about the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of it tonight. I'm not ashamed that I wanted to know more of the Word of God. And the majority of my education come from this book. Amen. I learned to read from this book. I'm not ashamed tonight that I spent many hours studying and reading from this book. Amen. Because it brought great comfort to me to learn the Scriptures. Amen. And so I cherish the Word of God, and what a joy it is to know that. And so tonight, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight about a salvation by knowledge of the truth. In other words, salvation by knowledge of the truth, not by emotionalism, but by salvation by the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Knowing the truth of God's Word, putting our faith in what thus saith the Lord and not just how we feel. I'm glad tonight that every once in a while I can have me a shouting fit. Amen. God can move in my heart and God can move all over me, and I've experienced that. But when I come back down, I want to be able to know in my heart and my life that I'm truly saved. So therefore, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that I don't put my faith in my emotionalism. I put my faith in what thus saith the Lord. Amen. My faith is based on what God says. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible teaches me in 1 Peter in chapters 1, and the Bible says there in verse 23, says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but by the Word of God, which liveth and abides forever. You understand that that engrafted word that James talked about, that Word of God that got a hold of my heart as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, my friend, that's what got me saved. That's what the Holy Spirit used to bring me to Christ. It revealed to me who I was and what I was, and God saved me by His grace. Amen. What a joy it is tonight to know that it was the Word of God that got me saved. That God revealed to me who I really was. That I was lost and undone and godly sorrow because I was a sinner. Amen. I was lost. I needed salvation. And so therefore, in knowing that, and we think about it, and God our Savior who wills all men to be saved. Now, I want you to notice how I'm phrasing this tonight. Because it's very important tonight. I want you to realize it's God's will that all men be saved. Now, I don't have 1 ounce of Calvinism in me. I believe that salvation is for whosoever will. Let them come and take of the water of life freely. God offers it to all. And here, as we look at this, he says, God, our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that's what he's saying here in 1 Timothy in chapters 2, verses 3 and 4. And let's look at this for a moment. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's God's will that all men be saved. It's not God's will that some be saved and some go to hell. It's not God's will at all that anyone go to hell. It's God's will that all men be saved. Now, I'll cover that a little bit tonight as we drift into that tonight. I'll show you tonight that God sent his Son into the world to die for all men. Not just some men, but for all men. And he goes on to say, who will have all men? The little word all, what does it really mean? It means all men. Tony, give me all your money. What does that mean, Tony? You ain't getting much, but I want it all. Now, if I want it all, I mean I want all your change. I want all your paper money. I want it all. But you don't want to give it all, do you? Matter of fact, you don't want to give me none of it unless I earned it. But the truth of the matter is that you all, listen, you all, I'm speaking Southern now, you all know what all means. You don't have a problem with that. Well, God don't have a problem with it either. You see, God sent his Son into the world to die for all sinners. For all. Amen. I don't have a problem with that. And I don't know where other people have a problem understanding that. Whosoever will. I don't have a problem with that. Now, there is a problem. And I'll cover it in just a few minutes. Lord, help me. I will get into that just for a moment tonight. And I hope you'll pray for who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what God wants men to know is to know the truth. There's nothing wrong with the truth. I love the truth. The truth will set you free. You know, one of the greatest blessings that I ever got in my life is when God revealed the truth to me. I can remember a time in my life as a young teenage boy when I was so confused with every wind of doctrine that was floating around. One was telling me to do this, and one was telling me to do that. One was telling me I ought to believe this, and I ought to wait on a second blessing. I ought to get baptized again. And I mean, all kinds of garbage and all kinds of junk. But where I did find myself is like this. There's one thing I had. I had God. I had God the Holy Spirit within. And I can remember praying and saying, Lord, I'm confused and I don't know. And I said, Lord, without you, I just don't know. You ever been there? I have. I've been there. And I can remember getting on my face and saying, Lord, I need wisdom. Now, I fear God enough to say, Lord, I don't know. You know what I was scared of? The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. I feared God enough that I wanted to know the truth and know it for myself. I did not want to be led astray into some cult. Amen. I just didn't want to be led astray and come up empty on the other side, not having the knowledge of the truth. Walking around constantly worrying about my salvation, whether I was going to lose it or not. Because there's one thing I found out real early in life is that I just could not get the flesh saved. You ever been there? You men, you've been a teenager before, haven't you? You remember trying to keep the flesh saved? Huh? You don't want to laugh too loud, do you? But I remember, you know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one. I mean, you know, I knew I was saved, had been saved, but the devil kept telling me every time I turn around, I said, well, I'd slip and say something I ought not say. Somebody would make me mad and I'd throw a tantrum, you know. You ever been there? You ever get mad about something? How many of you women got mad over something and you just pissed you a little fit? See, you don't, I mean, just pissed you a little fit. You know you have. Huh? Just pissed you a little fit. Well, you sinned. I found myself trying to keep the old flesh saved. I just couldn't do it. So I found myself a place to pray and call on God. And I was so confused about so many different things. I said, Lord, I just don't know what to do. And I found out, and I got to reading over in John's Gospel, over in chapters 15 and chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit, that God had given me the Holy Ghost of God, that he would abide with me forever. Well, if he's going to abide with me forever, well, I'm never going to lose my salvation, you know. And that he would lead me and guide me into what? All truths. And I said, well, that makes pretty good sense, don't it, Jimmy? He's going to lead me and guide me into all truths. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I'm just silly enough to believe that. And God brought the greatest truth of all to my heart. He brought assurance that I was never ever going to lose my salvation. Then I got in the book of Romans, and I found out over in the book of Romans that it was the righteousness of God, that imputed righteousness that God gave to me. Hallelujah. And I realized it wasn't my righteousness, but it was his righteousness. Amen. You see, the book of Romans teaches us how to be right with God and how to be right with ourselves and how to be right with others. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I enjoyed that. Amen. I enjoyed that. Having the knowledge of God. What a blessing is. I got to hurry. It is God's wishes, or God's wish, that all men should be saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but is long-suffering to us for it, not willing. Now listen, this is what God says. Now, we've got a bunch of doctrines running around out there. They're saying different, but this is what God says. Listen, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish. There's a conflict here somewhere or another. I assure you it's not with God. Amen? Might be with them, but it isn't with God. Should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the book says. You don't think the Bible contradicts itself, do you? You don't really think God is respect the person, do you? Where'd that amen? Did I hear amen somewhere? I thought of somewhere or another I heard an amen. God don't contradict himself. The problem is a lot of folks just don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. The truth of the matter is, some folks just don't know how to find the knowledge that they need to know. That is the biggest problem with our church world today, is because you see folks lack the knowledge that they need. You see, we have 66 books set before us, and I think we have the perfect Bible. But it is by a knowledge of the truth that men are saved. It is a knowledge of truth. And Jesus said in John 14, 6, you know the verse very well. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. There is no other way. Regardless of what some folks may say. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In John 17 and 17, the Lord's real prayer, he said, sanctify them through thy truths. Thy word is true. Amen. I like that. I like that very well. I tell a lot of folks I have a problem with the word of God. The problem is I believe it. And then he said in 2 Timothy 2:25, he said, in meekness, instructing those that oppress themselves, if God eventually will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. What men and women and boys and girls need today is that they need the truth. You see, God will bless the truth. God will use the truth. The Holy Spirit will use the truth of His Word when it's taught and preached in its right precept. In other words, when men and women say, I'm going to stand on what thus saith the Word, what thus saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to hurry on because I want to get through this. There's a few more points I need to show. It shows a man his personal needs of being saved. A man or a person will never ever be saved until they see their need. That's why it's so important that the gospel is to be preached. One of the greatest joys that I've found in my life as a minister in a long time before I ever surrendered to preach the gospel. I surrendered to preach when I was 27 years old. I was called when I was 17. I wasted several years of my life when I could have been applying those years to the ministry instead of running and disobeying God, telling God I couldn't do it and still can't do it without God. But one thing I found out, when you're willing to let God take you and use you for His glory, even as a young teenage boy, I'm going to tell you a story that is really true. As a teenager, growing up about 130 miles north of here in a little community called Coal Hill, next to Coalfield, which is between Harriman and Watford, in a little mountain community, in the church I saved in, they was five deacons in a church that seated about 150, and at that time the church was, people went to church back then. Those five deacons took a little old country boy and discipled him. They worked with him constantly, teaching him, loving him, counseling him with the Word of God, encouraging him, pushing him, explaining to him what the Bible said and what it meant. Men that God was using to mold and train that one day that God would use in a lot of different ways. That boy was me. That boy was me that God would take and send to Chicago and win many souls to Christ. That's one of the greatest thrills that I've ever experienced is winning somebody to Christ. Do you realize that when you win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like getting saved all over again? When God uses you to be a soul winner, he that winneth souls is wise. When God takes you and God uses you as the instrument to win somebody to the Lord Jesus, it's like you all over again getting saved when you have a part in reaching down into a soul and lifting that soul and having a part of lifting that soul out of the miry clay of sin and bringing that person to Christ. And God helping me rear up children that would serve the Lord, and watching God answer a prayer that I had prayed in the front seat of my car next to that church I was saved in, and saying, God, I need a person that will love me and be a good wife to me. Would you send her to me? You see, I had a prayer answering God. I think that's something that we take for granted today. We need to ask God for what we need. But one of the greatest needs in our lives today is that we need to realize that we need God in our lives, that our children need God in their lives. Paul said this, and let me hurry. In 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. I like using that verse. I've used that at the prison. Some of them men that are so, their lives are ripped apart and tore apart. And when I start talking about the life of Paul, what he was and what he done, I used it this past Monday night. You see the tears running down them men's face because their lives were wrecked. And they read it, they heard about somebody that God had taken with a wrecked life, a destroyed life, and God restored that life, and God greatly used that person. Paul said he was the chief among sinners. We're too dogmatic. One of the greatest sins in the South is committing adultery and getting drunk. Well, there's a lot greater sins than that, my friend. There's a lot greater sins than that. I think one of the greatest sins that a Christian can commit is neglecting their responsibility of the knowledge of God. Neglecting of the study and applying that study to your life and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's why our churches are not full. That's why America's in the shape it is today. It's because people have quit studying the Word of God. Hollywood's took the place. The sinner needs to see his need. Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul again in 1 Timothy 1, 16 and 17 says, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I'm glad that God dealt in everlasting life. From Genesis to Revelation, I haven't found nowhere where God ever give anyone a part-time life. It's not there. How? Now unto the King, eternal immortality, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory ever and ever, amen. Then Peter tops it off in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but is long-suffering to us forward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I don't know why, but God says go there, and I'm going to go there and finish up, which I have a lot I could go, but I'm going to go here because God said go there. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something. The Lord wants me to do it. And probably some of you already know. Some very, very interesting scripture. Some of you have already heard me teach on this before. But Paul wrote to a carnal church. 2 Corinthians is a little more pleasant and a little more lenient, may I say, and a little more toward lenience. And Paul has got them into trying to encourage them a little more to go on into their perfection of what God would have them to do. What should we do with the knowledge that God has given us? There's two great responsibilities. I'll share that with you in the close, but I wanted you to look at these verses that are very important. These verses should touch every one of our hearts. I know that God, as David was saying the other night, and as you've heard of, I know God don't call everybody to be a pastor. I know God don't gift everybody to be an evangelist. But one thing I do know from the scriptures, that God calls everybody to be a minister. God has given you some ministry of some type. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, I had a young lady. She wasn't that young, but she is a retired lady out of the glass mill where they make bell jars, cannon jars. She come from a family of about 8 or 9 girls. She sat under my preaching for probably about 6 weeks. She sat there service after service, faithful to every service. The Lord began to deal with her heart, and she come to the altar, and she got born again. And the night that I preached that she got saved, she said, "Preacher," she says, "God has dealt with my heart." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "I want to be saved." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She gave her heart to Christ. She got gloriously saved. The whole church gathered around her. I mean, everybody gathered around this lady. And we just had a meeting that night. A couple of weeks later, she came to me and she said, "Preacher." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh," says, "Preacher." She said, "God's laid it on my heart." She says, "I want to be a missionary. God's given me a ministry." I said, "Sister Dorothy," I says, "what does God give you to do? What is it that the Lord's called you to do?" She says, "Oh," says, "Brother Mike," she says, "I'm going to go to the nursing homes, and I'm just going to go there, and I'm going to clean those little ladies' toenails and fingernails and fix their hair," and says, "I'm going to tell them about Jesus." I said, "Sister Dorothy, you go for it." And she did that till the day she died. When they found her, her little blue eyes was looking toward heaven with a smile on her face. But she got so much joy out of that ministry of going and cleaning toenails and fingernails and fixing little gray-headed ladies and telling them about Jesus. She'd come back, Joe, telling us about the little ladies that got saved in the nursing homes. She found something to do for Jesus. He said here, Paul, as he wrote to them, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, amen, as we have received mercy, oh, God give us mercy, did he not? If I got what I really deserve, you see, I'd have died without Jesus and went to hell. But God give me mercy. Amen. We faint not. There's nowhere to give up and quit on God. I felt like it a million times. Now, by the way, when you get saved, when you really get saved, you make the devil mad. And the devil, he'll do everything in his ungodly power to get you to quit. But we faint not. Why? Because we're saved. A lot of ungodly things will happen to you when you get saved. When you get saved, you'll suffer persecution. Sometimes it comes within, not without. I've never had a problem too much with the world. It's all but always been within. I hate to say this, but some of the meanest people I've ever met have been church people. They'll break your heart. They'll stab you through and through. It'd be easy to hate them if it wasn't for Jesus. Do you know that? But you can't be a Christian and hate folks. You can't be real and hate people. You can't be what you need to be for God with a chip on your shoulder, friend. You got to bear your cross and keep going. But have renowned the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We ought to be living a life so godly. Look at me. We ought to be living a life so godly and fulfilling our ministry for God that it condemns the life of a sinner and a person that's out of the will of God. Amen? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they ought to feel very, very uncomfortable around you. That's what I'm saying. Then notice here, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now listen to this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. There it is. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm ready to close now. Two great needs. You ready? Number one, if you don't know Christ, to you that are seeking salvation, let me say to you, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's coming a time that you might not find him. God might not always be around for you, friend. Might be a time that his spirit may never, ever deal with you again. In my time, I have preached some awful, powerful messages. I've watched men and women literally watch the pew tremble as they shook the pew under conviction and walk away from God. But if God's still dealing with your heart, you better call on God while you have time. God's Spirit may not always strive with you, but God loves you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is nigh. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Bible teaches us, if we'll confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. That's why Jesus came into the world, was to save sinners. And then last of all tonight, one great need that's left. With all the knowledge that we have available to us, I'm afraid a lot of folks have it under a bushel. I'll ask you a question tonight. You answer it for yourself in your own heart. Don't get mad at me. When's the last time have you told somebody that Jesus loves them? When's the last time, Dad, you went to your bedroom with your little kids and you knelt on your knees by the bed of your children and you had a word of prayer with them? Every time we have a meal together, we ought to bow our heads and give God thanks and praise and thank him for our food. Around our table, we ought to talk about Jesus. At bedtime, our little children need to know that mom and dad loves God. We need to talk about Jesus. When's the last time that you thirsted deep down in your soul that you wanted to win somebody to Christ? My heart is broken sometimes when they ask me at the funeral home, will I do a funeral for certain families? I say, yeah, I'll try to help them. It's sad when you do a funeral for a family and you know nothing about the person. All you have to go on is what they tell you. All you can do is just preach what the Bible says. Very difficult. And then you ought to hear what some songs they request at a funeral service. Some of them nothing about the Lord. My. Our nation has got so far away from God. I wonder if God is saying the same thing about America that he said about Israel. We expelled God from our schools and our universities. Our government wants nothing to do with it. Our liberal news media wants nothing to do with God. Most of us in here are senior citizens. We didn't have all that mess going on when we went to school. We didn't worry about it when we went to school, about getting shot at schoolhouse. Our school teachers opened the Bible every morning, read the Bible to us, chapter out of the Bible, and had prayer with us. And then we said the pledges. We even said a pledge to the Bible. You remember that? But we got so far away from God now, we're so scared. Oh, we've allowed this social group, liberal bunch, to push us plumb out of the schoolhouses and out of our government today because we don't want to ruffle no feathers. We don't have no backbone. God help us. God help us. Shame on us is what we ought to say. Shame on us. Truth is falling in the streets. We don't understand what's happened. We've rejected the knowledge that God has given us. Father, thank you again. Lord, is we give you praise, thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and preach. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd have your way, Lord, tonight, in every heart and every life tonight. And Lord, as they come for a song of invitation, Father, if there's one, Lord, that needs to just come and talk to you, Lord, it just wants to come and get close to you. It has a need. Lord, it obey you tonight. Lord, we love you and we praise you tonight. Lord, we love Parkway. Lord, we love this church. We love the pastor. Lord, we love the people here. God, we pray that you'd bless and have your way. Lord, help all of us, Lord. For, Lord, there's not a one of us here tonight, Lord, that don't need you desperately in these dark hours. Have your way tonight, we pray, in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.